Warhorse plan has merit. Putting people to work will have a ripple effect. Craftsmen will need to make their weapons, and leather workers will make their armor and sandals and so on. I will speak to the Minister of the Treasury and see if he feels we can take this on. It may not cost us as much as it would appear, since many would work for bread, cheese, and beer alone. Eventually, Mother Nile will flow full again, and our treasury will be replenished. But for the present, I say we dispatch Hedahor's army southward immediately, for we need a show of force against the Tacetes, or they will not fear our might or our resolve. And we must rescue Nekau too, I added. How soon can you be ready to leave? I asked of Hedahor.
I have kept the army at the ready. 3 days at most.
Good, Amka, make it so. I must make ready, I said as I stood to leave.
Make ready?
Hedahor asked, turning around sharply to face me. Yes, Amka will stay here to take care of the affairs of Kem and supervise Zenti's care. I will take only Tiameni and a few attendants with me. Erehor's jaw dropped.
Surely you are joking, he said tentatively.
Surely I do not, I answered testily.
Merry, this is nonsense. We go into battle. Do you understand what horrors war involves? We march double time. We'll be on food rations and water restriction. Soldiers act crudely. This is no place for a woman.
Hedahor, I speak now as your king, not as your lover, I began self-consciously, for I had never spoken openly about our relationship. As chosen of Horus, I feel I must accompany you in battle, although I promise I will never interfere in your military business. My breath now came in gasps, so much did I hate having to talk to Hedahor like that.
Makes a good point, Amka said, tapping his staff lightly. Think of it, Hedahor. With your military skills and your knowledge of the history and the scrolls, you will no doubt easily subdue the Tacetes as you did before. Of that I feel certain. Merit Neith returning triumphant, it will help her to govern more effectively. There are very few things more effective than war to distract people from their miseries at home. And through your actions, she will have proven her Horus energy.
At once I could see Amka's reasoning, but also his appeal to Hedahor's male vanity. I smiled inside, for I still had much to learn from my old mentor. And much to learn from my son, too. For if there is anything at all that would help a woman understand her limitations, it is raising a boy to be a man. If ever a living thing in this world differed from a woman, it is the ba of a boy. It is only through the determined efforts of their mothers and caregivers that boys ever mature into men who wash, brush their teeth, or sleep in anything other than their filthy clothes atop a dung heap. There. I have said it and recorded it on the holy scrolls, for I swear the following happened. Zenti had just come home from a walk with Semni, the purpose of which was to learn from the animals and plants surrounding us. Amka had instructed Semni to teach Zenti how the gods created life in the most unexpected places. And so the two of them walked along Mother Nile and explored dung. Dung! When Zenti burst into the palace and told me this, I was less than amused, but Zenti was obviously excited by what he found. He kept thrusting in my face a filthy dung beetle, whose life the gods ordained involved rolling little pieces of dung into balls and scooting them around the desert floor for no apparent reason, or at least for no reason that I dared consider. Yet even with six hairy legs designed to roll dung into balls, the disgusting beetle was far cleaner than was Zenti, who stank, having spent the day up to his knees in Mother Nile's mud, breaking open crocodile and hippopotamus dung cakes. Oh, Isis, did he smell! So, with beetle in hand, he kept coming toward me, only wanting to sit on my lap and show me this creature that Semni had explained was perfectly made by the gods for this job and no other. I held out my hands and backed away until we had gone around in a complete circle. Thankfully, by the time Abana showed up, he was sitting in the corner of the room, completely absorbed in torturing the poor animal, which I had actually begun to pity.
Oh, by the
gods, look at you!
Abana wailed, and she mercifully persuaded him to bathe. He agreed, but only if he could take his now 5-legged beetle with him.